I've got questions about my computer.
And you've got questions about your computer?
Not my coffee over in my keyboard. Do you think that's a problem?
No, not for me.
Well, it doesn't mean we're working right, Jimmy.
I'd buy a new one, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, really, you've got to be there. It's like the best. It's the personal computer show.
Check one, two. Can anyone hear me? Okay, this microphone is not working. Can you move that microphone over there, please? Yeah, this one's better. All right, I'm sorry about that, folks. Apparently the main microphone has been disconnected. I guess that's sort of symbolic, isn't it? Look at this thing. It's drooping down to the floor. Okay, you know, it's 7:01. What mic is this? This one over here. Okay. And you're listening to radio station WBAI, and in case you don't know it, this is Off the Hook. As soon as I get this to work. There we go.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call.
All right, I think we have it working. Yeah, some bonehead put the microphone in the wrong position, but we have the right one working now. It's Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
Down in Philadelphia, Bernie S.
Have you guys been doing phone hacking?
Yes, Bernie, that's what we're going to be doing tonight. It's good to hear your voice. Can you hear us?
We've been communicating by email for the past month, but that's about it, unfortunately.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we're told that there is no phone connection, and yet we have a phone connection. How did we do that? Well, you know what? We're hackers. We're phone freaks. We're people like that that have some ingenuity. And I got to tell you, folks, this is our first show in a month. All right. It has been so incredibly frustrating because we had so much material, so much information, so much in the way of hacker ingenuity to get us talking to you, the listeners. And we have been locked out. We have been prevented from doing that. And I do want to say that people here have been tremendous as far as getting the station working. There are people here who risked their lives staying here when Sandy hit us. The river rose up to, I believe, the second floor of the facility here. It was simply incredible what we have witnessed in this city and throughout the island. It's unprecedented. But what happened afterwards really was to put it mildly and to use words that I'm supposed to use on the radio, a disappointment. Because we were able to keep the station going. We went down for a little bit of time, but we were able to surface again, despite many, many hurdles that we had to get over. We were able to come back and get the station on the air. So on Wednesday, the 31st of October, which was Halloween, what a memorable Halloween that was. You have something to say, Rob?
Yeah, I just thought I'd mention, for the benefit of those who might not know, that this station is located on the last corner on Wall Street, like right up against the river.
Yes.
So it was particularly affected by everything that was going on. Like, we can look out the window and see the river, so...
And we could see the river at the window on the 29th when the storm hit us. So, yeah, you know, it was monumental on so many levels in so many locations. And this was something that was unprecedented. The river came up to the building, to the second floor of the building. We're on the 10th floor. But I've heard reports that water was coming down the staircase because I don't know how that happened. But the building was kind of messed up as a result, has been, still is. All of Wall Street, unrecognizable. There are boilers and generators all over the place. Very, very strange, surreal scene. But we were able to secure an uptown studio to broadcast from, a place that had power. Remember, all of downtown had no power south of 14th Street. It was unprecedented. I was able to get into the city from Long Island, which was also devastated by the storm, on the 31st. And let me tell you, that was no easy feat to get here. And I didn't even find out until I was midway through that, in fact, through you, Rob, that the studio wasn't in operation here, that we had to go someplace else. I found out where that studio was. I went to that studio. It wasn't easy to find out where the studio was. It's like that information was secret or something. Found out where it was, went there, and got there in time for the show and was told, no, you're not allowed in because there's a 6 o'clock curfew and we're going to play recorded programming all night long. And, you know, I have to say, for the rest of that night, I was livid. I was a maniac. I was just in a very, very bad mood. You saw me that night, right?
Indeed, I did.
I was fit to be tied. I really was. Because it was just so frustrating. Here we were with all kinds of information, all kinds of ways to talk to our listeners who were out there, who were scared to death in the dark, who had their homes destroyed. But you know what? A radio is such a magical thing to have. I know, because I lived with a radio for 2 weeks while I had no power and no heat and no connectivity. I had a portable radio. Thank God for that. I was able to hear what was happening in the world. And it was scary. It was scary because you didn't know what was happening next. You know, you didn't know, was it going to be another storm? Was it going to get to freezing tonight? Then the gas panic hit. Yeah, it was almost like watching civilization just crumble in front of you. Of course, we were all taking care of each other. We were all talking to each other, you know, neighbors and things like that. But, you know, you need that voice. You need familiar voices on the radio. I'm not saying my voice is necessarily the one you want to hear, but you need, our audience needs to hear the people they're familiar with, not lectures about American history that were played all night long, whatever it was that aired from the Pacific Archives. Great programs, but totally inappropriate for then. So, yeah, I was very frustrated, very frustrated. But I did calm down. I calmed down in a couple of days. And throughout this whole process, I had been trying to make contact with the people here to help find a place where we weren't locked out at 6 o'clock in the evening, where we could broadcast all night long, have familiar voices on the air, talk to our listeners, figure out a way to communicate with our listeners. And you know what? We have figured out a way for you to communicate with us this hour. Yeah, we're told we have no phones, we have no way of communicating, but as you just heard, Bernie is on the phone. We can communicate because hackers are able to figure things out. That's what I was trying to tell people. We can find a studio. You know, at the HOPE conferences, Hackers on Planet Earth, every 2 years, there are these wonderful people known as Radio Statler. I think you know them, Rob, right?
Yes, indeed.
And they build a radio station in a few hours. Now, it obviously doesn't have a transmitter because we're not allowed to have a transmitter, but we do have a radio station, a perfectly functioning studio. They do this with their bare hands. It can be done. What I need to know is, how do we connect to Empire State Building, which is where our transmitter is? What equipment do we need? Tell me. I will get it. I will hook us up. We will be on the air 24 hours, but you need to tell me. Nobody told me. And so for the second week, the week after that, November the 7th, we were locked out again. Another show wasted. Another opportunity to talk to our listeners down the tubes and more pre-recorded programming. So if you thought I was angry on the 31st, on November 7th, I was even more angry. So it was just so ridiculously frustrating and so preventable. It really was a low point, I think, in our broadcasting history. Because what we're here for, we're here for our listeners. And this is not in any way to put down the people who were on the air during the daytime. They did, as far as I know, they did a great job. I couldn't hear them. My radio didn't pick it up where I was. But it was basically a small group of people that were allowed in, and the majority of us were not allowed in. In fact, the majority of us, I don't think, even found out where the studio was. We knew where it was, but most people weren't given that information. It was really, really awful. And you know, we exist to serve the public. We are here to spread information in times of emergency. And this has been a time of emergency. This has been a very unprecedented situation, even more than 9/11 was. 9/11, we were back on after a few days. We were recovering. This is still the top story. This is still something that people are dealing with every day. There are still people throughout the area who have no place to live, who have lost everything. And we need to think about those people. We need to be talking about ways to help them. That's what we're here for. That's what radio should be here for. We spend a lot of time criticizing commercial radio because they drop the ball when that happens. We talk about studios that are only satellite feeds or where the DJs aren't even in the same city. We weren't much better than that, but from the hours of 6 in the morning till 9 6 in the evening till 9 in the morning, when we just had recorded programming on. It really was an embarrassment. So, you know, finally, and you know, I do know some programs were presented as recorded programs that were presented between those hours. Here's the thing. When you don't have power, which on the island we didn't have power, we didn't have connectivity. We didn't have a way to even get on the internet, all right? And we certainly didn't have a way to record programming and upload it. We did have a way to find some way to get into the city and do radio from wherever it is that that we could do it from. That was basically all we wanted to do, and we just weren't allowed to do it. And that's what has frustrated me so much. Now, the third week, yeah, well, November 7th. What about November 14th, all right, the third week of all this? Well, by that time, we had power back on the island, and we were able to record a program. We were able to do the ridiculous steps that we had to go through to get our regular program on the air. Recorded program would not have done the job that we needed to do as far as giving updated information, communicating with the listeners. Just live radio is what it's all about. And it's ridiculous that we would have a studio and not be able to do live radio, or that we couldn't get another studio and simply broadcast from there, or tie a phone line into the studio that we weren't allowed into, or do a Skype call, or do something with ISDN. There were so many things we could have done had we only been in the loop. So this third week, November the 14th, right? That week, well, they had pre-scheduled a fundraiser, a national fundraiser from the Pacifica Archives. Now, wonderful people, wonderful content, great programming, well worth supporting. But maybe that wasn't the best time to do it. When we had been preempted, when everybody had been preempted for so long, how about we have some local programming then? But no, you can't preempt the fundraiser, even though it's a fundraiser that is a national fundraiser, could have easily been rescheduled, wasn't. So we were preempted for a third week. And that's the point where I think all of us at Off the Hook just got kind of fed up with the whole thing. That's when we posted the open letter on our website. If you haven't seen it, www.2600.com, where we basically just lay it on the line and say, this is ridiculous. We can't go on like this. In addition to being left out of the loop and not taken seriously, when we could have really helped the situation and done a real service for our listeners, we basically had no way of communicating, of even getting the information. It's just not getting any better. We have that frustration. We have the endless fundraising. We're told now we have to do more fundraising next month to make up for all the things that got screwed up as a result of this. It is so incredibly stressful and I'm at the end of my rope as far as that goes. I think a lot of us are. And that's why that letter was posted, where we basically say we are officially thinking of alternatives to WBAI to broadcast Off the Hook, because it has just been something that over the years, we're not growing. We're not moving forward. We have we have less airtime than we ever have had because of the constant fundraising that's always happening. And now we get preempted at the drop of a hat, no matter what, and not taken seriously as the kind of people that can actually make a difference and talk about the issues that are going on right outside our windows in ways that that nobody else is covering. The technological aspects of Sandy alone are fascinating, and we could spend 4 hours, the 4 hours that we have missed, talking just about that. However, obviously, we're not going to be able to do that. But just the way the whole network fell apart, the way cellular phones stopped working, the way you couldn't connect to Wi-Fi hotspots anymore, the way that long-distance networks began to fail. Electricity obviously went down, but landlines miraculously stayed up for the most part, except in downtown Manhattan, where landlines by Verizon seem to be out and will be out until December, according to what we have found out. Cable phones. Lots of people have cable phones. In fact, my insurance broker has a cable phone, which means I couldn't call my insurance company for a couple of weeks because all the cable lines were down. And it really is incredibly interesting to see how people have used technology and how technology has kind of kicked them in the ass because they depended on the wrong thing at the wrong time. People who had cable phones, for instance, and lost cable service had no way of communicating with anybody. And in fact, just today, my cable phone went out again because apparently there's this battle going on between LIPA and Cablevision, and LIPA came and cut the cable wire, and now Cablevision has to go and send a person to come to the house to say, yeah, the problem's not in the house, it's out there somewhere, and then it's going to go on for another week. But the thing is, and this is what really amazed me, they wanted to know if they could contact me on my cable phone. And it's simply incredible. Of course you can't contact me on my cable phone because the cable is out. Think about what you're saying here. This is just one of many, many, many examples that I would like to focus on, that we have so many things to share. And I don't want to dominate with my ranting here. It's just it's been pending up for a month. Rob, I know you have something.
And this is why it's been pending up, because those of you listening who are involved in the hacker community, and I'm sure you, Emmanuel, and Bernie would back me up on this, is the way things worked here, the way the chips fell, it is so not how we work. We do what we do. We do what we do at Hope and at Radio Statler and things like this because we know people with all these talents and with all these fields of expertise, and we get everybody to contribute what they can. You know, we're accepting everything that people can add to help the situation or to help things get done the way we need them. And here, that just didn't happen. This station has us at its disposal. And we were not they did not take advantage of us in a way that in a way that they could have. So like it's very frustrating, and it's very
I hear you. We've been railing about it on our internal list for quite some time. Did Bernie hang up?
No, I accidentally hung up on him when I pick this up.
Oh, but there we are.
Here he is. Okay, we've got
him. Hand me Bernie.
Here's Bernie.
Bernie, I don't know if you've been able to hear what we've been saying. You were disconnected.
I've been able to hear Rob, but I can barely hear what you're saying. But I can tell from your tone of voice and get a good idea that you were more than a little upset that WBAI was needlessly off the air for most of the 24-hour cycle for the past 3 weeks.
Well,
if there was ever a need for live radio in the New York metropolitan area, it was the past 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it was the unfortunate thing, it was just so needless.
Well, I mean, technically, we were on the air the whole time, and that is what's so frustrating, is that we had a signal. A lot of stations did not have signals. A lot of stations lost power, lost their studios. We obviously couldn't get into our studios because our building was damaged. The basement was completely flooded out, and we're still figuring out wiring and things like that. Our phones don't work. But we had a signal. We had a signal from a temporary place. And yes, you know, there was a restriction, and the people who run that studio have every right to have whatever restriction they want. They can say that we can only talk about religion on the air if they're going to give us their studio. They can say that you can only speak for the first 5 minutes of every hour. They can make whatever demands they want because we're using their their space, and I don't think we were even charged to use their space. That's great. I mean, that's within their rights. But what we should have been doing was looking for something better, and we were waiting to do that. We were totally willing and able, and we've got friends in high places at various corporations that I guess are going to remain nameless, but kind of surprising. Yeah, we do have friends that will help us, that will step up in times of crisis. And this was that time, and we couldn't even get a call back or a return email on those few occasions where we were able to get online. Think about what we have learned over the past year and change with Occupy Wall Street and what they have accomplished as far as getting word out to the masses. You have somebody riding a bicycle from one part of town to another, live streaming it from his head to the world. Okay, now if you can do that, you can certainly figure out a way to get a 50,000-watt radio station to broadcast live with a microphone. So it's, you know, with that kind of ingenuity of both activists and hackers together, that is exactly what you need to be doing in a time of crisis. I don't want to make this all about us. It's not all about us, because I think I'm speaking for a lot of people here that were silenced. We have so many good people here, so many experts, so many people that could talk about global warming or tenants' rights or what the poor and homeless already have to deal with. So many issues that we just weren't able to focus enough time on. We were able to focus some time on them, but not enough. And especially, you know, that first night when there was no power south of 14th Street, actually south of, I think it was 34th, even higher up. That was when people needed us the most. That was when people really needed to be able to talk to us or just hear what we had to say, get reassured, because you don't know what's going on half the time. When you're in the dark, when the things that you depend upon don't exist anymore, you need to hear from somebody. You know, 9/11, what happened was anybody who had a car would park the car, turn on the radio, and a crowd would gather around to hear what was going on. That is how crazy it gets, and it gets that way very quickly. So when you have a radio station, yeah, you need to take it very seriously, and your listeners are very dependent on that. So anyway, just to sum this up, and I would like to take phone calls. I know we can do this. I know it's going to be a challenge, but we're going to try because we believe in experimentation. But what I wanted to say was we put this letter up on our website. We have gotten a tremendous outpouring, dozens, hundreds of letters from people. And a lot of you are very angry, and I understand that. I don't want you to be angry at WBAI. I don't want you to stop supporting WBAI, because this radio station is crucial. There's no question about that. The problem is one that is just with the system here, with the way things are set up, where there is the communication just isn't working. And that is what has been so frustrating for us. But I would like people to realize that it's something that's extremely frustrating for us. I don't want you to give up on the place itself, even though we very likely will be moving someplace. We have gotten offers from other places. In fact, one of my favorite radio stations, WFMU, has been very supportive of us, and we might be moving over there in the future, in the near future. It's entirely possible. That is, to me, an incredible vote of acceptance from people we really admire. I consider that to be one of the best radio stations in the world. It's right across the river in Jersey City. What's unfortunate is that the signal does not really go past Queens and Brooklyn to the east. We get pretty much the same area in the city and to the west. I think we even get more to the west. But unfortunately, that would affect listeners in that area. It does not affect the internet at all. In fact, I think the internet would even be better, because I believe they have a really strong following on the internet. This is something we are considering because we need that kind of community radio communication, where we can be there in times of stress, not be locked out, be able to communicate, feel like we're a part of the process, not outside the process. And that is how we have felt for the last 3 weeks. Okay, you know, I don't want to focus on our problems, our complaints, because we have such limited time, and that is another one of our complaints, is the limited amount of time we have. I do want to focus in, perhaps between the three of us, in our what we have noticed as far as technology in this crisis. When the storm hit, the aftermath of the storm, what failed, what worked. I will tell you something that worked really, really well for me. I ran out of gas, wasn't able to use my car. I had to walk into the village every day, you know, a couple of miles, a couple of hours. But it's a good way to kill time when you have no power and no lights. You don't really want to stay up too late. You really don't. But when you take a nice long walk to the village and a nice long walk back and spend your time at Starbucks, and they have been amazing. They have been amazing. They let you stay there all day long. You know, you can get online and connect and talk to people. It is a godsend. They don't bother you. And it's funny because I hadn't gone to Starbucks all my life, and here I was depending on them to get me through this crisis. So that, to me, that worked as far as that particular gathering point, that particular bit of technology. Their Wi-Fi, for the most part, worked. At one time I went and I asked, is your Wi-Fi working? And they said yes. And then after I bought all my coffee and other products, they just happened to mention, but it's not connected to anything. It's not connected to the internet. It works. And yeah, there was a signal, but it didn't go anywhere. And that didn't really help me at all. And I had to finish my coffee and do something else. So that for the most part worked. The other thing that worked amazingly well once phone service came back, once cell phone service came back, was my Kindle. I was able to, in fact, where I don't get service normally, I was able to lean out my window with the Kindle, wait for a 3G signal to appear, and buy a copy of the New York Times for that day. And it would take a half hour to get to me. But once it got there, it was such an amazing feeling. Wow, I've got today's, and I have something to read. I can read all night long. And I have a little light next to my Kindle, so I was able to do that. Another thing that I was able to do by going to Starbucks and plugging into their AC and recharging my laptop as I did this, I was able to pirate things from DVDs. Using an amazing program called Handbrake, I was able to take my Arrested Development DVDs and copy episodes to my thumb drive so that when I got home later on, I would have a laptop that was fully charged using minimal power because it was taking it from the thumb drive, and I would be able to stay sane by watching episodes of Arrested Development while everything around me was dark and silent. Now imagine if you didn't have that power to be able to copy something from a DVD. You know, we're told that that's piracy, that's illegal, you can only do things in a particular way. You know, I probably would have been able to watch maybe one or two episodes before the power went out, but here I was able to watch so much more. So it makes you think a lot about the powers of technology. Bernie, are you still with us?
I'm still here.
Oh, good. Okay.
Now, I understand where you are on the island. You were just sort of barricaded from the rest of the world from a bunch of big trees that fell down. Is that right?
Well, yeah, we had a lot of trees come down, and it actually took quite a while to get around the trees just to get to a road. That was the least of it. I consider myself very lucky. I know so many people who have been through so much. And yeah, I had no water and no heat and no electricity and no connectivity. But, you know, I knew something like that was coming. And I dealt with it and I adjusted. When everybody was going nuts over gas, I just didn't have a car from that point. And I dealt with that. The worst part was not having a way to get into the city. The train stopped running for a full week. Once I heard that train horn, that was the best sound in the world. I was able to walk to the train station and take a train into town and actually be a part of civilization again. That was cool. That was one day. and it was one day I also really wanted to help out here as well. But again, couldn't get anybody to take that seriously or call back. So I went back afterwards and went back to the darkness. But, you know, it was kind of like meditating. You're in this very different environment where it's much quieter and much darker, much colder, certainly. And you have a lot of time to think and just to sort of relax a little or try to relax a little bit. And a lot of things that you normally have to do, you simply can't do. So you wind up not worrying about them after a while.
Emmanuel?
Yes.
Do you think there's going to be a lot of people who will be looking at backup systems from now on after going through this experience, either buying fuel-powered generators or photovoltaic panels or satellite phones or things like that, so if they need to be connected, they can?
Well, you know, I kind of hope that people rely more on themselves, realize that, okay, you know what, I can survive without power for a few days. I can survive without a car for a few days. Rather than, I think some of what we saw panicking where people were buying all the gas for their generators and their massive SUVs. And that is what created a perceived shortage, because people were filling up and stations were running out because not all of them were open. When in actuality, had people simply limited what they were getting, then we all would have had enough. There wouldn't have been a panic, and we could have been a little bit calmer. So I kind of think that the survivalist mentality can sort of work against us when people feel that they got to stockpile on everything and they have to put themselves first before everybody else. You can simply change your needs temporarily if you know that you're going to get through it okay. And I never had a doubt that power wasn't going to be restored. I simply had to hunker down for another day. It got down really, really cold in my house. It got to 39 degrees inside my house. And when I saw those wonderful power workers from Indiana walking through the forest to get me back online, it was the most amazing feeling in the world. It was after 9 days. But I was extremely happy to see them. And I never for one moment thought that the power workers were slacking on the job. LIPA, yeah, LIPA really has some communication issues. I think LIPA and BAI might be able to get together and learn some things from each other about how to communicate or how not to communicate or whatever. I don't want to harp on it. But there are so many things that we can learn from a situation like this. Unprecedented in our history. I don't think anybody has seen anything like this. I don't know. Maybe we'll see it again because of all the global warming and climate change that has been taking place. There's a lot of talk about that. And this is exactly what we should be talking about on these airwaves. There is so much expertise here in these studios of people who know the scientific aspects of it all and can talk to people and really get the word out there. So hopefully we can move forward in that particular regard. Rob.
Yeah, and that's where technology really stood out during this whole disaster, because people were keeping in touch. Fortunately, I live in a part of Manhattan that wasn't too affected by anything. I didn't lose power. But
many people I know didn't lose power, and they seem to be the only people that didn't lose power. So many people say, yeah, I didn't even lose power, and you know, on the South Shore of Long Island even. Hmm. I kind of feel some animosity towards you for not being affected by the storm in any way, apparently. Other than having to run over to the studio on the 31st to be locked out. I guess in a way that was kind of weird for you.
Yeah, it was. But then I was keeping in touch with my family out on Long Island. They're on the South Shore.
Oh,
and
boy.
Of course, I was hearing all the updates from them. They were keeping in touch and keeping updated through their mobile phones.
I don't think I asked you. How did they fare?
They fared well. It could have been much worse. A tree fell, missed the house, hit a fence.
Okay.
What they were doing was they were keeping in touch with their mobile phones, and then when the charge ran out, they would plug them into their cars and drive around the block a couple of times to charge the phone up.
Uh-huh.
And this was working up until there was no more gas. And by that time, I think the worst had been over. There were places like libraries and I think banks and places like that that were letting people come in and just recharge their phones and mobile devices.
And that is an incredible thing. I've seen so many outpourings of generosity of organizations. Like Starbucks is one thing that I mentioned, but just local businesses of all sorts, people just going out and helping with the cutting of trees or just checking on people to make sure they're okay. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. For God's sake, if you know of anybody, if you're in a neighborhood that was affected by this, and if you're within the sound of my voice, you are, check on your neighbors, check on people that you know of, make sure everyone's okay, make sure they're taken care of, because New Yorkers really, and New Jerseyites and people all throughout the region, we take care of each other, and I've seen so many examples of people who really care. I've been watching reports of people going to Staten Island and to the Rockaways, just trying to help out in whatever way they can. And tomorrow especially is going to be painful for so many people. Redcross.org obviously is one of the main places you can get information on how to help out. But sometimes just going down there, not being a tourist, but going down and getting your hands dirty and picking things up and just asking people what they need. Sometimes that's the best way to do things.
Yeah, and it was a learning experience, because I actually learned a lot about my neighborhood, having to navigate most of it on foot rather than public transit, which was all but knocked out near me. There were no subways, of course. The buses were crawling, and that night on Halloween night, I had gotten on a bus to take it down to where the temporary studio was.
Oh, those free buses. What a farce that was. They were sardine
cans. That was an adventure, and it was actually going much slower than I would have gone on foot.
It took me half an hour to get off the bus to walk, and we only had gone three blocks in that half hour, and of course I was going much faster than the bus.
Yeah, but since that wasn't working, I got off the bus, and I ended up half walking, half jogging down 20 blocks or so of Manhattan. I might be running out of battery over there. But
tell me you brought your charger.
I did not.
Oh my God.
but what happened is that I ended up like learning a lot more about my neighborhood. I walked past things I had no idea I lived near because I couldn't take the subway and I couldn't take the bus.
I don't think that's your battery. Somebody just says, "What's up?" I have no idea who's saying that. But you know what? We're using Rob's phone on the radio. That's what's up. So,
yeah.
So stop texting us. Bernie, we're going to lose you in a moment because we're going to try and take some phone calls. That's something we really want to try. Anything you want
to
say?
Good. I'm glad you're probably the only show on WBAI that's able to take listener calls, and I commend you for doing that.
Well, I know the personal computer show coming on afterwards. Last I checked, they were soldering things, and I think they're coming up with a solution of their own. But this is a low-tech solution, basically holding a cell phone up to a microphone. Yeah, it sounds kind of crappy, but not so bad, especially when it's a lifeline to listeners. And we're going to give out a phone number, and we're going to ask our listeners to call us and, for the first time, talk to us on the radio.
Yeah, and Bernie may not sound so great right now, but he sounds a lot better than he would if he were just shouting at us from Pennsylvania. So,
I just want to thank all of the listeners, the many, many listeners who have contacted us since this whole thing started 3 weeks ago.
Yes, thanks for your support.
It's been heartwarming.
Thanks so much for your support. It means the world to us. And wherever it is we wind up, hopefully you'll come there with us. You know, nothing is set in stone yet. There's still a lot of conversations we have to have here, but it's nice to know that worst comes to worst, and I don't even know if that's the case, we will have a home someplace and a place where we can communicate with our listeners, because without that, it's nothing. It's no fun for us. We're not serving a purpose being locked out and being silenced. It's now the day before Thanksgiving. It's almost a month since the storm hit us, and this is the first time we've been allowed to go on the radio to talk about it. We offered to come in the afternoon when people were allowed in the restricted studio, but again, no response. It's just, you know, we've been here for 24 years, and you'd think that we'd be taken a little bit more seriously, that hackers would be accepted a little bit more, especially in an alternative place like this, and it's pretty disappointing. But one way or another, we will continue doing what we do, and that's a promise. Bernie, thank you so much for joining us. Good hearing your voice. I think you sound great, and hopefully we'll have you back on the regular phone, wherever it is we're broadcasting from, and the next time.
Good luck. We're working on it.
All right. I'm going to hand you this back, Rob.
Okay.
I think your battery's fine. Maybe you just want to check your levels. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to give out the phone number.
Yeah, that's good.
And our listeners can call us. But also, you know, I want to also express our extreme sympathy for so many of our listeners who I know have been hit so hard by this, whether you're in Coney Island or places like Oceanside or Freeport or any place on the Jersey Shore, so many communities there. Staten Island, our friends in Staten Island have suffered so badly. The Rockaways, the horrible tragedy of Breezy Point. So much devastation, so much loss. We have lost way too many people. Thank God we haven't lost more, though, because we certainly could have. I drove through the Midtown Tunnel today, and I realized, you know, as I was driving through this, that this entire tunnel was underwater during this this event. In fact, for days afterwards. So much could have happened. The East Village, devastated, unrecognizable, boilers and generators all over the place, businesses destroyed. And of course, rebuilding as much as possible. But people are really affected by this. And this is something that, you know, you can definitely help with. Visit your local businesses, see how people did, help them out however you can. This is where we need to come together. Winter is coming. Winter is around the corner. Winter, in fact, visited a couple of weeks ago. People are going to need our help, and they're going to need a strong voice on the air to do that. And hopefully BAI will come through in the future and be that voice 24 hours a day. What's the status of your phone there, Rob?
My phone is fine. And, so this is kind of interesting. What we've set up is, what I've done, I have a publicly available Google Voice number, which is usually just a voicemail. I don't take calls on it. But what I've done is just for the rest of this hour, I've forwarded it to my mobile phone.
Okay.
So if you call my Google Voice number, you should get through to my phone here, and we'll put you up to the microphone.
Let me just say one thing before you give out the number, and that's that only one person can get through at once, obviously. Mm-hmm. Everybody else who calls through is going to get a recording saying that you didn't get through. What mm-hmm. I'd like people to do is wait until the person that we're talking to hangs up, because we're just going to get call waiting beeps. We can't we can't figure out how to turn off the call waiting beeps. Now, you have, and we're gonna put the company online for this, MetroPCS.
Yes,
apparently
I have MetroPCS.
There is no way to turn off call waiting. They say there's no way on your phone, which is a smartphone, by the way, an Android smartphone.
It's a smartphone.
Can't turn it off on there.
Not that smart.
My stupid Nokia phone can turn off, it's a GSM phone, you can turn off call waiting, you can do all kinds of cool things. You can't even conference on your phone to tie up the line or something like that. We are going to try and disable Google Voice while somebody is talking to us. What's somebody going to get then if they call while it's disabled?
They might get my personal voicemail, or they might just get a busy signal or something else. I don't know.
Okay.
But if you hear me talking to you on a recording, then you haven't gotten through, and you don't have to leave me a message. You can just hang up and try again.
Let's try and have as much time as possible for listeners. Now, your ringer is off, right?
My ringer is off, but I'm looking at the screen, and I should be able to see when somebody calls.
Okay, I'm going to give out the phone number. Can I do that?
You can do that.
Okay, it's area code 347, which is Brooklyn, Queens, and various other places. It's local, in case people still have local calling plans. 347-948. And stop me if I get it wrong, if I'm reading somebody else's number. It's right so far, right?
I think so.
You don't even know your own number.
No, that's correct.
347-948-8783. I just want to see how everyone's poised over their touchtone. And do we have a call coming in yet?
We don't have a call coming in yet.
All right. It does take time for Google Voice to process this.
And it also takes time for our tape delay to work itself out.
And for our brains to realize that the phone's ringing.
Yes. And so that's 347-948-87. Ah, we've got someone coming in.
Okay. Are you going to hold it up? Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I'm going to hold it up and see if this works. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Tina calling from Bushwick.
Hi, Hello. How you doing? Can you hear me? Okay, because I'm far away and Rob is right next to you, so it's going to be a little bit of a struggle, but tell us how did you make out in the storm? Well, that's a blessing.
Yeah, it was. I mean, our buildings are really old, and you know, this is definitely a bit of a ghetto. But I felt like, oh no, our building's gonna blow down, our tree's gonna come through the back window. But we had just blinking lights a little bit, and nothing. I mean, it was friends that. Have money and live in like much more lavish places where it's the dark for weeks. Unbelievable.
Okay. Well, we want to open up for as many people as possible. Is there anything else that you want to say to our listeners or to the station or anything?
Well, I wanted to say I really appreciate what you're saying about how you weren't let in and being honest about how you were treated and we would really miss you if you're not on BAI but we'll definitely find you wherever you go and just appreciate your show and that I'm glad that you were able to just be open and say exactly what happened. And I think it's kind of it's very very unfortunate that we all have to leave our lives sometimes and go and live somewhere else. And I think BAI really needs to get their act together and move somewhere else. We can't keep funding whatever the rent is, outrageous rent.
Right.
We can't live in the East Village anymore. We live out here now. And why doesn't, BAI needs to move too, I think.
Right. Okay, listen, thank you so much for your call and give our good wishes to everybody in Bushwick. And we're going to try to take another call. Let me hold the phone, Rob, because it's better for me if I can control this. I don't know how to pick up the phone. how does it? Okay, you hold it then.
I will.
But
I will,
the thing is, the call waiting disabled thing didn't work. I clicked on Google to disable it, but they still kept coming through. So
okay,
we're just going to
we've got another call coming
okay,
in.
Okay, who do we have? Where are you calling from?
Hello, you are...
Hit the right button.
Trying to hit the right button.
Okay.
Ah, there you are. Okay, you're on the air.
Yes, you're on the speaker. Okay, you can hear me. I can hear you. Okay, we were not touched by the storm, all of us. We're in Flushing, Queens.
Uh-huh. Is this Rebel?
Oh.
Sounds like Rebel.
Yes, I just want to mention that I remember during Pearl Harbor when the cell phones didn't work in that catastrophe. I remember the people who, you know, the...
Pearl Harbor. I'm sure you were around for Pearl Harbor, Rebel. Let's...
he is right, though. The cell phones didn't work during Pearl Harbor.
No, they didn't work during... Okay, he does touch upon a point here. And again, our phone number is 347. And it's only going to work for our show, by the way. So don't write it down and call again. 347-948-8783. Those of you who have been wanting to talk on the air for the last almost month, please call us. But the cell phones were the first thing to go down. And so many people, we've been talking about this for ages. Landlines, folks, landlines work. I know they didn't work everywhere, and downtown Manhattan is a good example of that. But out by me, landlines are the one thing that stayed up, and they were a godsend.
Okay, hello, you are on the air.
Hi, guys.
Hi, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Woodstock, and if you guys were to go to WFMU, we couldn't get you on the air over here anymore.
I don't, isn't there a 90.1 repeater up there somewhere?
For
I think so, and that's our call
I
waiting.
I don't know where it is.
Okay, well, that's...
I don't think we get it up here this far north, but we do get WBAI, and it really is a tragedy that... that BAI could not accommodate so many producers. To someone who is a subscriber and much more than a subscriber to BAI, it just amazed me that there wasn't any better planning or certainly any more openness to the sort of combined efforts that all of the activist producers could have done. It's reflective of everything that's management of WBAI, and it pains all of us who believe and love in WBAI, and it's been a part of our lives forever, to have to acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear everything you're saying. It's just that at some point we have to realize that we're stagnating. And we need to move forward. We need to be able to expand to do more. And when we're constantly quelled like this, it just it makes us feel unhealthy and that we're not doing enough. So wherever it is that we do wind up, if something improves dramatically here, and I honestly don't know how that can happen, because I've heard promises, oh, yeah, that won't happen again. And it just keeps happening again. It happened after 9/11. It happens after every single crisis where people just get kind of insulated and shut out other people that aren't in the inner circle or whatever. You know, failing something really amazing that I still have yet to think of, we will continue someplace somehow to serve the community. That's what we're here for. That's what we want to do. That's what we wanted to do for the last 3-4 weeks. So you have that promise.
I think just because BAI's signal is so much bigger than WFMU's, and I know in the area that WFMU serves, it's a great radio station, and it has great service, but BAI is a full, in the broadcast industry, it's a full class B. It's 50,000 watts, and
right.
A college station like WFMU just is not going to be able to have that kind of reach. And I think my only advice would be a little bit like Rodney Dangerfield and tussle your tie a little bit and recognize that you just don't get any respect.
Okay, thanks for that call. And we're opening it up again for anybody else that wants to call in. But I hear everything, and we've been struggling with this for weeks now. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, 4 hours on a less powerful station, is that as good as 1 hour on a more powerful station? Things like that, you know, what can we serve more? And, of course, the internet also makes a lot of things possible as well. So I don't know. A lot has yet to be decided. Do we have another call?
We don't have another call yet, but I do want to thank everyone for bearing with us while we have things like call waiting beeps and things.
I think I know what happened. We were getting call waiting beeps just now, and I hadn't disabled Google Voice because I didn't think it was working. I think it was working. I think some wiseacre was calling your regular line and making call waiting go off before when I had it disabled. That might have been what was going on.
Well, I do know a few wiseacres. So.
All right. 347-948-8783 is our temporary number. That's only going to work for the next 10 minutes or so. If you want to be on the air, call us. If you're within, and please, if you're local, because the people here really have been struggling, and I know you want to get your voices out there, and please only call once, and just tell us how you did in the storm and experiences that you might have had, any kind of technological angle to the whole thing, anything you just want to share with us. Do we have a call?
We don't have a call yet.
We don't
yet.
Have a call.
Is forwarding on over there?
Yeah, forwarding's on. I clicked it.
Okay.
Do I have to click something else?
No, you shouldn't.
347-948-8783.
That sounds right.
Okay. I mean, I'll call it myself to see if it actually works.
347-948-8783. Give it a shot. See if you can get through. And
I'm calling it myself to see if it's working.
Okay.
Because, you know, sometimes these technological things. Now, I'm getting your voicemail.
Okay, so now that's Google having a burp. Try refreshing the page over there and making sure that thing is doing
it. It says
thing.
Change is saved.
Change is saved.
So we're dependent on Google right now. You know, we knew it was going to come to this. We knew at some point Google was going to have the final say. Okay.
At some point. Okay.
Again, the phone number, you have it offhand, 347?
347-948-8783.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And for those of you listening on podcasts or otherwise after the fact, that's just my random boring voicemail that won't go anywhere.
I don't think it's working. I think Google Voice I'll call it again. Hold on.
Is Google Voice failing us? Come on, it's the cloud. People like the cloud.
It's ringing. Is your phone ringing? Is it my number coming up or?
It's not ringing yet.
It's going to your voicemail after one ring.
Huh.
Okay, thank you, Google Voice, for letting us down when we need you. It's you know, it's not much to ask for to simply...
We did get in a couple of more calls than we would have gotten had we just depended on what's working right now here at the station.
I'm going to just reload the page a few times.
Sure.
And can you banter for a moment?
I can banter for a moment. Also, yeah, we can't thank you enough for all the outpourings of support and things that... That we've gotten from our listeners. And if you've supported one thing, that one small update that I have, a few weeks ago, before we went off the air, we had a fundraiser, and one of the premiums was a painting by me that was going to be a small 5x7 painting on canvas. Well, because I happened to get hold of some larger canvases, those are now 8x10s. So those of you who pledged back then will be getting a larger painting than you pledged for no additional charge or anything like that. So just a small bonus and an extra thank you for supporting our show. And we really appreciate all the outpourings of support that we've gotten, whether it be from fundraisers or whether it be from people responding to our open letter. And it's reassured us that that we've all been doing the right thing here making it. So
I think what we're demonstrating here tonight is that technology can be used in very positive ways. And it can be shaped in very unusual ways, but it's not always going to work. And we have to figure out ways around that. And right now, it's not working. Right now, for some reason, Google Voice has maybe we violated some terms of service by forwarding and unforwarding, and having so many people call in. I don't know.
Maybe this is definitely an example of using technology in ways that it probably wasn't intended for.
How about you hand me the phone?
I can hand you the phone.
And you go over here to the computer.
I can come over there
and maybe toggle things. Just tell me what button do I hit to pick up the call? Because I don't understand these phones. Okay, it'll show up on the screen.
Yes.
We have gotten so many letters from people. In fact, I brought in letters thinking that maybe I'd read a couple of them. There are pages and pages of them. You can write to us, too, at oth@2600.com with your thoughts and feelings. But here's just one of so many examples. I just read the Off the Hook open letter. I myself do not live in New York. I listen to your show in podcast form, but I've always enjoyed what you have to say. From what I read, it doesn't sound so much like you failed, but more like the people around you have failed. The fact that the station wouldn't open their doors just seems absurd. I'm hoping Off the Hook, we are getting a call. I'm hoping Off the Hook finds a home. And thank you, Jared, for that letter. And thank you so many other people for the letters that you've sent us. And now we have a phone call. Good evening. You are on Off the Hook. Where are you calling from? Speak up, please.
Speakerphone.
You hit the buttons. I hate these phones.
Touching the touch screen. Hello. Okay, you're on the air now.
Where are you calling from? Okay, there's somebody else. Pick up that person then.
No, we lost them.
We lost them. Okay. Well, apparently the phone is working
okay,
now.
Okay, the phone is working now, and it'll keep working for another 5 minutes or so.
And the number is 347
948-8783.
And apparently that will work sometimes. Unless that was somebody calling your other line and getting through the same number.
That was somebody calling through Google.
Okay, how could you tell?
because it wasn't a number that I recognize. And
you never have people that you don't recognize call you.
I don't give people I don't recognize my cell number.
Yeah, but they still figure it out anyway. So, if you're out there, please call us, because this might be the only chance you get to call in until our phones come back online. And that's, you know, that is a sobering thing. Our phones don't work, and they're important. They're important any place, any office. And this whole region of town is devastated. It really is. Not having phones, not having power in so many places, it's unusual. It's unprecedented.
And it really is unprecedented. And another way tech has been used to great effect was just spreading the word about things that were going on during this whole storm. The MTA has a Flickr page and a YouTube, and they've been posting video and pictures of the devastation they've been dealing with. And as a transit geek, that was it was very eye-opening to see those. I highly recommend checking it out if you're into it.
I just called your number, and it's not working again. Google Voice sucks. Okay, I'm sorry. I had to say that. And you know what? One thing I do want to say in great praise of WBAI is that you can say things like Google Voice sucks and there won't be any ramifications. You can say things like what I said before, you know, self-critical things about the station. And, you know, it's not only allowed, it's encouraged, because we have to look at ourselves. We have to analyze things. And that's, you know, free speech is so important in times of crisis and just in everyday life. It's extremely important. I don't think we're gonna get any more calls in because the technology is not working, but it did work. We were able to get through to certain people, and some of us were able to talk to our listeners, and that was good. And you know, we will continue to help out whoever needs the help at the radio station to connect and make things better. That's what we're here for. That's what we want to be able to do. So final words on this program, our first post-hurricane program, the day before Thanksgiving. I guess never take anything for granted, you know, because it can change in a snap of a finger. And there's so much that we are dependent on that we need to know how to exist without being dependent on things like electricity, things like connectivity, things like gas-guzzling vehicles. All kinds. Do we have a call? You want to try one more call? All right.
It looks like we might have
one more
call.
Let's try one more call. Go ahead.
Hello. You're on the air.
Hello? Yeah. Where are you calling from?
Yeah, my name is Elvis Tony. And,
you have to turn down your radio.
I read the song that would be appropriate for, you know, the storm. And all this devastation. Also about, you know, homeless people.
I hate to rush you, but we've only got a couple of minutes left.
So, no, we got a couple of seconds.
We got a couple of seconds left.
So. A copy of the CD to someone.
A copy of our show?
I think he has a CD to send us. What is it you want to send?
Okay. Unfortunately, we lost them.
You know,
I think,
it's just we just don't have enough time. That's another problem here, that we never have enough time to do the things we want to do. There are so many aspects to this, so many people want to interview and share information. But, you know, our hour is up, and another hour comes up now, a personal computer show. They're going to tackle this crisis in a whole different way and share all kinds of interesting stories as well. They've been affected, too, as we all have been.
Okay, and one last thank you to all our listeners. You know, we will keep doing what we're doing. One way or another, you will be hearing more from us.
Absolutely. And words of encouragement from one city to another. Remember, New Yorkers, we're strong. We'll get through all this. Take care of each other. Look out for each other. Stay in contact and write to us. OTH at 2600.com. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Good night.
This city won't wash away. This city won't ever drown. Blood and water and hell to pay. Sky tear open and pain rain down. Doesn't matter to come when may. I ever won't leave this town. This city won't wash away. This city won't ever drown. Ain't the river or the wind to blame. It's everybody around here knows. Nothing holding back punch or trains. Prayer and a promise is ghost. We just count digging our graves and silent marble above the ground. Baby, our bones will wash away. This city won't ever drown. Be strong, like a second line stepping high. Reason Hill is rolling along. Chantilly to Lucrey, Lower Nine, Central City uptown. Singing Giacomo Pinani, this city won't ever drown. Doesn't matter, cause there ain't no way I'm ever gonna leave. This city won't wash away. This city won't ever drown.
You tune to WBAI in New York and WBAI. org. Preceding program was brought to you live with certain portions on recording. And we shall be sorry to see Off the Hook go, but. We hear next a personal computer show. Please stay tuned.